sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode NF4. Be a legend in your own skin. Anytime brothers can't get jobs, then they rob. A man rather die than live on his knees and starve. Cops steady asking your man what happened. First he tell, then he stop, like he not really ratting. Guess he not really in that casket from a sawed off. Listen, peep game from the brain of an all-star. The rain hurt niggas, bones who been shot. Metal pins in their leg, they walk with a limp hop. The streets lie, so you better be cautious. Your man'll fry you, plus everybody talking. A vet, a general, don't step where I walk in. Make your path be a legend in your own skin.
Message!
I'm gonna repeat that. Make your own path be a legend in your own skin.
Message!
Make your own path, be a legend in your own skin.
Message!
I don't think you kids get it, but until then, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host. Let me tweet that. Welcome. Bienvenue à un autre second button episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. Before I start the show, I want to, I kind of need to inform you new listeners, especially those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Who's up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory, white people, on August 8, 2024. I gotta remind white folks. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. All right, okay. All right, let's do this. Okay, all right, let's just start this. This was a long intro. All right, so for you new listeners, before I continue, I just help you get familiarized with my podcast. I like to break down my episodes into three parts. Acts, which I call act. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thought. And the final act is guess. Final thought. Now, so far, what you've heard in the intro, in the first act, is the theme song, today's title, followed by some poetry, which both the title, and the poetry will be connected to the final thought. After that was salutation, greetings, and a disclaimer on the kind of podcast that you're listening to. It's, the disclaimer is mainly for white folks, mainly for white people. I mean, no, it's for everyone, but. And, it just hit me that, I was done with the intro. Yeah, last thing in the intro, another thing I like to do in the intro is share a quote. And today's quote goes like, okay, if I'm stalling, it's because I'm realizing that I didn't set up my notes properly. My apologies. Here we go. Just a sec. Today's quote is, life becomes better when you decide your path is not a group decision. the author's name is Case Kenny, and I credit Talon Macy for sharing that on threads. Not Twitter, threads. Right, okay, and for those who thought August 8th Kendrick was going to do something amazing, because for those of you who thought on August 8th, I mentioned it's August 8th, right? Did I? Yeah, right. Okay, for those of us who thought that our Lord and Savior, Kendrick Lamar, was going to do something amazing on August 8th, because he was wearing a jacket in his Not Like Us video that had 8/8/24. Well, turns out we got it wrong. We got the prophecy wrong. What really happened is 8/8/24 represent the clothing line. But whatever. Honestly thought I was going to be announcing something big. You know, I thought something big was going to happen. But whatever, man. He was announcing a clothing line related to that date. So there you go. You learned something. All right, this concludes the first act. Let's jump to the second act and take it from there. All right, you ready? Because I'm ready. All right, let's do this. Okay, first item on the agenda. I was driving in and remembering that this is my podcast recording day, I had one of those moments. I was noticing there's like a baseball park nearby. And there's people playing soccer, and my friend was telling me how she's going to the gym, and I found myself beating myself up again, it's my favorite sport, beating myself up. And go, man, how come you're not like these people? How come you don't have a hobby on my podcast recording day? So I have this nasty habit of always wondering, hey, how come you're not doing like they are doing, and forgetting that I have my own thing? So, I just felt the need to acknowledge that thought and remembering that, no, I do have a hobby. I do like doing things. It's just unfortunate that none of my hobbies involve going outdoors. And I'm not saying I want to go on a hike and shit, but I'm saying it's kind of weird. I just kind of find it weird how I'm like anti Mother Nature. I don't know, whatever. That's, it's just a random thought. Again, okay. Next item on the list. Yes, on the last episode I was talking about, I'm not saying I was rushing it. Didn't sound like I was rushing it. Granted, I didn't hear it again. But I kept talking about how I was looking forward to watching the House of Dragons season 2 finale. And I won't lie, man. I was a little disappointed, but I was disappointed because the first 7 episodes like ramped it up, man. It's like, oh shit. Okay, you know what my word that I used to describe when the episode ended, you know what I said? I said, fuck, blue balls. Cause they set us up. The first 7 episodes, like, ah, shit's about to go down. Motherfuckers, man, it's about to go down. And then episode 8 happens, and it was just like, yeah, shit's about to go down, but in the next season. Come on back. Tune in. It's like, tune in after this commercial break. After this commercial break. This 2-year commercial break. Now, upon further reflection, I'm realizing that I both hated and loved it. two things could be true. The hate was because I was expecting a big battle scene and it didn't happen. But two, I love it because I think. See, what happened is I was avoiding reading the book because my intention was so I could write into the Black Guy Who Tips show after their recap and share my comments. And I wanted to be like them, mere mortals like them who haven't read the book. So I would see in the show exactly like they were seeing it. And what's funny is I still haven't written in. But all this to say, I plan on reading the book. But I'm saying that part of, for those of you who are watching Game of Thrones / House of the Dragon, who are fans of it, I really thought this was the episode that was going to, at the very least, help me figure out who is Daenerys' family tree. Which I think they kind of said it. I think okay, let me put it this way. I'm going to read the book. And if what's his face said on the episode, Daemon said, is accurate, then that means that Daemon and, see, that's exactly, and is it Rhaenyra? Rhaenyra are the ancestors of, like, I don't know how, I guess this is the Game of Thrones is what I'm saying is, I'm not, like, after the civil war between the Targaryens, I guess the people remaining are going to be the, whatever. Again, I'm going to read the book. I'm going to write in to Rod and Karen, just to, you know, I don't know how much I enjoyed their recap, and then I'll read the book. Oh, yeah, why I loved it. Last final point is, I read an article about how what we saw was actually the best possible scenario with what's been done to the... So apparently what happened is the writers and creator of House of Dragons Season 2 intended for it to be a 10-episode season. And at the last minute, they got told, nah, cut that shit to 8. And this is an example when fucking management get involved. I don't know what the decision is, but I'm going to assume that it involved that. Hey, man, I got an ex-wife who wants some child support payment. So we got to cut that shit down to 8. I don't know what the decision was, but for whatever fucking reason, 10 episode went down to 8 at the very last minute. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a project and management comes down and cock blocks your shit and puts you in a uncomfortable situation, some bullshit situation, like, hey, we got to do more with less type of thing. We know we asked you bells and whistles and we wanted a Cadillac, but turns out the client only paid for a hoopty. We know you designed a rocket ship, but turns out we just did. Okay, I'm trying to give you an example. Basically, put in a situation where you're like, oh, fuck. How am I going to fit? I think it was the opposite. Wait. How am I going to fit all this shit in that small car? They were, you know, if you've ever been in a move, they were put in a tough situation. So they had to do a lot of cutbacks. They had to make some last minute decisions. A lot of it, part of this influence had to do with the fact that the writer strike and I get some money drying up. Fucking HBO, whatever, man. This is going to be the second time the big wigs at HBO fuck up a show. How do they live with themselves? But with that said, based on what I've read, it's a decent season from the situation they were put in. Some folks will be upset at it. Well, whatever, man. If fans are fans, whatever, man. I get it, man. I think I'm more applauding the production team more than I am the end results. That makes sense. But yeah, anyways, yeah. So, hated and loved season finale. I look forward to hearing the recap on by the Black Guy Who Tips, Rod and Karen. And then that will conclude my thoughts on House of Dragon. All right, okay. Next item. Okay, I'm going to rush quick on this one. I was watching The Wire. Excuse me. I was re-watching The Wire. Shout out to The Wire fans out there. High five all around. And it's just something I do. I love that show, man. Love it. Yeah, more than House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones combined. And not because it's only black people. Not because of all the black people and black actors in there. And I'm at season 5. And I'm just going to just make one quick point. I'm at season 5 where, spoiler alert, Bubbles is avoiding... He's at the, what do you call that? That, not recovery clinic, is like AA, whatever. That he's like what do you call those things? He's at a, he's sharing his, he's, oh, fuck. Where addicts go to recover. He's like one of those places where you share stories, right? And I'm at episode 2 where he avoids talking about Sherrod. And the only reason I bring up the story is because that discussion he has with his sponsor, and he says, yo, man, I was hoping you were talking about Sherrod. And this is, upon the rewatch, something I caught or I found myself focusing is what Bubbles is going through is like severe self-loathing. Like he really hates himself. Like I like the word he used, like I was taking care of this boy. He was telling that to an ex. Basically, he reveals like, yo, I was trying to look out for this dude, and he does something that causes Sherrod to die. It was an accident. Right? And it caused. Basically, he hates himself. It reminds me of Manchester by the Sea. And it just had me thinking about the idea of forgiveness, self-forgiveness. And how it's a challenge. Like, he's surrounded by people saying, no, dude, you need to forgive himself. Sorry. And he refuses to do that. I don't know. I think it was just a powerful testimony. It was some badass acting, man. And yeah. Okay. I think the overall... The word to remember from this is forgiveness. Something that I struggle with. Not that I've done anything as bad as Bubbles or anything like that, but this concept of forgiveness, forgiving the self, has always been a challenge for me. And I'm thinking about how I struggle with forgiving self for smaller things. These guys, that's a big deal. Okay, granted, it's fictional characters, but I'm sure there are other people out there who have it way worse than me and who've managed to forgive themselves. Okay, all right. What happened between the last episode? Speaking of things that happened between now and the last episode, is Harris chose, finally decided on a vice president, a running mate. And first, I'm gonna say, man, shout out to all of us who are fans of Veep. it's a good day to be a fan of the TV series Veep. And she decided on running mate, and his name is Tim Walz. I didn't know shit about this dude, but I after listening to an episode of the Daily podcast, did I really not? Oh my god, B, did you really not? Okay, let me put up my notes. Excuse me, the Daily podcast.
Hey, it's Michael.
Oops, sorry. The Daily New York Times podcast, the Daily with Michael Barbarar. I fuck up his name, of course. No, his name is Michael Barbarar. Barbara? Man, can't have an easy Christian name to pronounce. What the fuck? What's the name of the host on his name? Okay, you know, I'm just gonna go with Michael. Fuck it. I have this habit of going on Google search and forget that I have people listening to this podcast and can't see what I'm doing, and I imagine that must be boring for you, so I won't do that. But let's go with Michael. It was a great segment. After this segment, I feel like I know him very well. But I think what's two thoughts that come to it, because I remember bringing up Veep, is in Veep, what I like is kind of like House of Cards, the behind the scene things. You get to see how the sausage is made. You know that when Kamala Harris picked this guy, a lot of research, a lot of strategizing, a lot of thinking went into this decision. And these guys are saying, okay, look, after a lot of research, a lot of reflection, this is our move. This is what we think is the ideal move. Now, on the surface, to the rest of us, it's just like, and you know, they make their move, and they think that this is their best bet. And so far, it's starting to play out. Well, at least on social media. Who knows in the real world what's going on. But on social media, fuck, this is, like, amazing. Now, I like how, okay, the real reason why I'm bringing it up, because I remember while listening to the segment on Daily Podcast, on the New York Times podcast, how it put me in a situation. It's like, it's a little like Obama in the sense that, thank you for giving me something to believe in. Like, I wanted to play this game of something to believe in. And I got to tell you, as a 49-year-old going on 50, it's I'm so skeptic. I'm used to being skeptic and being like, fuck that. Nothing believes it. Like, I know there's going to be disappointment. I know he ain't perfect. I know it's a game of politics. It's all about image. I know he ain't Christ's return. There's going to be a bumpy road. But I'm allowing myself to be, I don't want to use the word naive, but to believe. I'm enjoying this journey. I'm enjoying what we're going through right now. And it had me think, let me put this, it had me think of this story that I read on the sex worker subreddit. And this one sex worker, she was talking about how she's got a client and she's a little worried about the fact that, yo, I think this dude is falling for me. Yeah, I think this dude is falling for me. I'm worried. Like, am I playing him? Be careful. And the comment section was like, man, fuck that nigga. And, you know, let me get that money, bitch. And one of my favorite is a client. He goes, hey, hello, ex-client here. Someone who procures the services of sex worker. And he comments, he says, look, consider the possibility, two things. Consider the possibility that that's exactly what he wants. Whether he knows it or doesn't, but he's allowing himself to feel something. You're putting in this, like he's allowing himself to believe that, hey, you're great, you're amazing. Like, as long as he stays within the boundaries, maybe he's allowing himself to be, that's what I'm saying. He's allowing himself to be delusional. And you're providing a service. Just go with it, lady. It's not your responsibility to be like, hey, remember, this is just, and I can understand that. And I guess that's what I'm saying. And in this particular situation is, I'm allowing myself to forget disappointment. I'm allowing myself to forget that it's going to be a heartbreak. Just enjoy the moment. It's been a while. And, I think, okay. And then the more I read about this Tim Walz guy, and, like, he's made some bold decisions. Like, he's, like, super liberal. And, I'm just saying I'm enjoying the journey, folks. That's really what it comes down to. I guess that's what people in relationships are in, man. You know that even if you're in the most amazing relationship, you have to accept the fact that, or maybe you don't, but the reality is you got to accept the fact that it's going to end in tragedy. Even though you guys make it till the end, one of y'all going to die. One of y'all is going to have to bury the other person. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. But it's not about the, it's like I'm remembering or understanding what they mean, that it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. So, man, shout out to them. On that note, I'm also enjoying the attacks that they've been getting. It's like, oh man, these conservatives. these Republicans. They're trying. They're trying to make nicknames. They're trying to diss the dude. He ain't no real man. Look at him shaking. It's really, they're like, is the expression drawing straws, drawing at straws, or there's a lot of stretch to diss the guy. But my favorite in this is a part of the response, because somewhat the response is actually all I was trying to say is, as I'm talking about Tim Walz, I'm trying to transition to segue to today's new word, a word that I learned today. And the word is, and it's very important. I'm gonna have it pronounced. It's the word is
full throated.
That's right, full throated. Grow up, grow the fuck up, man. All right, I will not have any immaturity about it. Full throated. Now, for extra points, I'm gonna use it in a sentence. Okay, and the sentence is. It goes, the sentence goes, here we go, just a sec. Tell us, Donnie.
If a small number of people relatively going to the Capitol, but you never see the picture of the crowd. The biggest crowd I've ever spoken, I've spoken to the biggest crowds. Nobody's spoken to crowds big.
Oh, my God, that's the wrong clip. All right, okay. I did that on purpose. Oh, my God, okay. The joke is Donald Trump actually said that Elon Musk supports me. And I believe the exact quote is Elon full throat supports me. Is that what he said? Yeah. Okay. No, he goes, Elon endorsed me full throat. Grow the fuck up, man. Grow up. All right. Grow up. And that's what it's all about. Full throated. I didn't know it meant. I forgot to read the definition. Do I not have the definition? Excuse me. The definition is full throated, produced or expressed with full power of the voice, loud and powerful. So am I being full throated on this podcast? Grow the fuck up. All right. Okay. Let me put it this way. There's no fucking way. I can't see a way I'm using that word in a sentence. Definitely not in the barbershop. Them niggas are not going to understand. Not a Caribbean-based barbershop. I'm not using that shit in an interview. Fuck that. Oh, whoa. Hold on. For the right money, I will. All right, okay. Okay, let's go to the next item. Go the fuck up. Okay, let's jump here. I'm trying to learn to be more succinct. Okay, what else do I got? All right, okay. After the last episode, did I mention that? I watched, oh, right. Okay, it's all connected, man. All this is leading up to the final thought. I watched the movie Tyler Perry's Divorce in the Black. And I got to tell you, man. And it got, that poor bastard, man. It got 4.5 out of 10 on IMDb. But you know, it doesn't matter. And I think I watched it. Okay, on the last episode, I was talking about how a quote, something Tyler Perry said, basically middle finger to people who don't like my movies. I'm summarizing, paraphrasing, but middle finger to motherfuckers don't like my movie. I have my audience. Suck my dick. And I respect that. And I talked about how I dissed him. I dissed his movies, movie making on a podcast. And I take it back. I take it back because I respect the fact that he's doing something that I'm like, if you have an audience, who gives a fuck? I mean, unless you're doing something like the Klan or some shit like that, something evil, like hurtful and things like that. But he's got his audience. He's serving. They enjoy his movies. And the rest of the world is like, oh, your movies suck. But who the fuck are you? And the thing is, he believes, at least he tells himself, I'm doing God's work. God has chosen me to serve this segment of the population. And in return, these motherfuckers are making me rich. I mean, I wouldn't hate being in that situation. Like, there is no such thing as being loved by everyone. Someone will always find something to like the line that Tupac said, he goes, niggas will hate you for whatever you do. And by niggers, in quotation, he means the world. People will hate you for whatever you do. that line by Jay-Z. Jay-Z has a line. He goes, I dumbed down for my audience to double my dollars. They criticize me for it, but they all scream holler. I probably butchered that line. But the point is, you're speaking to a person who started out that it was the purpose of life is to make everyone like you. And turns out, man, nah, work with the people who, again, as long as you're not being an asshole, as long as you're not being hurtful, fuck it, man. You have an audience? Speak to your audience. And I say all this to say to justify the fact that Tyler Perry's divorce in the black, I enjoyed it. Like, it had the traditional Tyler Perry's recipe. First, they start out with a character that you're going to fucking hate. And you're convinced that, oh, yeah, this motherfucker's evil. And then it ends with the character getting their ass kicked or basically it's his version of good versus evil. And his audience eat that shit up, man. And the thing is, and I guess also they had Megan Good. Megan Good, like, really did it. My favorite part is when she goes from meek to strong. And look, all this to say, I enjoyed the movie. Now, I wouldn't buy it on DVD. I wouldn't watch it in theaters. But I enjoyed the movie, and I could understand why people would like it, why some folks would find inspiration in it. It's about a woman who's dealing with an ain't shit nigga. And finally she comes to her senses and is like, I don't need to be with this person. You know what I mean? That saddens me about a movie like that is I feel my heart goes out to the women who watch this movie and who are in shitty situation, who are like in domestic violence situation. And they use this movie as a way to fantasize about being out. Fantasize as opposed to actually getting out of the situation. Like, I could picture someone watching this movie, enjoying it, and only taking comfort in this character making it out. Like, telling themselves, one day that's going to be me, and it doesn't happen. I mean negative, but I'm sure, but that's life, man. That's life. I'm sure for every motivational speaker, there's someone out there who's just, actually, I used to be like that. I used to buy all the motivational books. Okay, my best example is I bought a book about how to not procrastinate. A book, a fucking book, exercise book. All that shit did was collect dust. And it's like, I guess that's what self-help books are. In a way, his attempt is to be self-help with that movie, but yeah. I feel like I'm trying to justify watching enjoying a Tyler Perry movie. Fuck y'all, all right? Like Tyler Perry said, fuck y'all, eat a dick. Now, speaking of motherfuckers, I believe that's where I'm at in the agenda, is speaking of motherfuckers who have their own audience. Oh, wow, it's kind of an interesting segue. Now, I'm not going to read this article, but I kind of enjoyed it, and it's titled... Joe Rogan's Netflix special is light on comedy and heavy on bro complaints. Now, I had no intentions of speaking about Joe Rogan's and his special. Like, I didn't watch it. I made sure not to watch it because all I was going to do is what? Hate? That's exactly what he wants. I'm going to watch it just to be like, guess what Joe Rogan said? Which is what he wants. Well, okay, let me elaborate. I didn't watch it. I wanted to ignore it. I was a little annoyed at the people who are like, fucking sharing clips or talking on Twitter about, Joe Rogan sucks. It's like, fuck. Then why the fuck are you sharing? The fact you're giving him credit, you're making it worse. But I really enjoyed this opinion piece on MSNBC. The author is Jake Berlin, holy shit. I feel like that white dude who interviewed Donald Trump. I can't read. Hey, my defense, English is my second language. Yes, that's my excuse. And my excuse, the excuse I'm going to use is English is not my second language, but I would have done the same thing if it was a word in French I couldn't read. Okay. Berliner Blow. All right, okay. Jacques. That look, en tout cas, c'est un nom français, là. Berlin, Nerf Bleu. Okay, but where I was getting at is I really enjoyed his think piece, the thought that he was making, and again, links are in the show notes. You can read it for yourself. But the main takeaway I got from it is, or what I found insightful for me is, Joe Rogan is like a savior for bros, for the bros, quote unquote bros. I don't have what name to call them, but this particular segment of dudes, most of them hate Justin Trudeau for whatever reason. Maybe he's too effeminate. Like, basically, are not the audience that I chase. And I bring this up is he's got his audience. Now, usually I would let it go. Unlike Tyler Perry, if I resent Joe Rogan, it's because his audience, his target audience, the bros, what we have in common between us two is we're both trying to take space. But the problem with their version of taking space is it also involves taking space at the expense of others. What do I mean by taking space? It's like on this podcast, it's my attempt to take some space. It's to say I exist. I have a right to exist. It's I have a right to be here. These are my thoughts. This is what I find funny. This is my world. And fuck you if you're expecting me to apologize for it. Now, Joe's audience, in a way, share that sentiment. It's like, fuck you. I have a right to exist. I find this offensive. I find this funny. I find this bothers me. Yeah, sure. But their problem is shit that they find funny is shit they enjoy is shit that other people don't enjoy. I like laughing at things that will bother you. I like laughing at things that you will find offensive. I like, in my mind, trans folks do not deserve to exist. I mean, I'll pretend that I'm okay with it. But deep down inside, I'm like, I want to make fun of shit. I want to live at other people's expenses. And what bothers me the most is how it's normalized. Either they're unaware that they're, like, stepping on people's feet. It's like their attempt to take space also includes stepping on other people's feet. Either they're unaware or they don't care. And that's what, to me, makes Joe Rogan and the people who love him problematic. That's why I don't like him. That's why I don't fuck with that guy. That's why I'm not saying I pray for his downfall, but I won't cry if it happens. I'm like, make your money, but don't expect me to like you. But then again, I think that's part of his gimmick. I think his gimmick is, I do shit that you libtards will bitch about. You libtard niggers. you people in your feelings will enjoy it. Yeah, I'm trying to make sense of the Joe Rogans of the world. But deep down inside, I'm just going to leave it as we're just two people on opposite sides of a spectrum. Or opposite sides of a battlefield in this particular case. I don't know if that makes sense, but it makes sense to me. All right, okay. I've babbled enough. I think I've been 30 minutes. Do I have anything else? No, that's it. Okay, let's jump to final thoughts and wrap the shit up. Because I'm getting hungry. J'ai un petit creux là. Oh, you know what I'm looking forward to? Watching the show Presumed Innocence and goddamn. And rewatching whatever. I'm watching a lot of TV. I love watching TV. I watch a TV series. Whatever. Whatever, man. Chicks may not dig that shit. I said bitches. Okay. I'm trying to be funny. Right. Chicks may not dig it, but that's my life. That's what I do. All right. Okay. Let's jump to final thoughts. The final act. Okay. Let's do this. Okay, before I share today's final thought, I'm going to play a clip that I played on. I'm going to play something that I played on the LAP episode because I feel it's still relevant to what I'm about to talk about, okay? So Here we go, Mr. Smart Guy on the internet, on TikTok.
People pleasers are the ones who gave up, not by conscious choice, but as a matter of survival, their authenticity in order to stay liked and accepted and attached with. But then they carry that on in the rest of their lives. And they're at risk. I always worry for the very nice people. So emotional repression has huge implications physiologically. And emotional repression is one of the impacts of childhood trauma. The child is born with some fundamental needs. One of them, as I've articulated earlier, is for attachment, for closeness, proximity, unconditional loving acceptance by caring adults. The other need is for authenticity. Authenticity is very important, to be connected to yourself so that you know when you're safe and when you're not. You know what you want and what you don't want. You know how to say no when you don't want something. You know how to say yes when you do. That's authenticity, auto, the self, being ourselves. So we have these two needs, attachment on the one hand, authenticity on the other. Ideally, the two are not in conflict. Ideally, you can be in a relationship, or I can be in a relationship where we can be ourselves and be accepted and connected with. And that's ideal all our lives. But what happens to a young child where if they're authentic, they're not accepted? So when children are given this message of conditionality, that you're acceptable to me only if you behave in ways that I approve of, otherwise the attachment relationship is threatened, then the child is faced with this choice, which is not a choice at all. Then do I show my sadness and my fear or my anger? Or do I threaten the relationship? Well, there's no choice at all. The child will choose the attachment. Mm. And therefore they give up connection to themselves, which is the essence of trauma.
Oh my God. The part I want you to focus on in that message is authenticity versus attachment. And and before I elaborate, let me what's up with the title? Let me explain let me answer the question, what's up with today's title, okay? The connection between the title and what I'm about to say. So the title came from a rap song, a track by Nas, and it's called The Block Is Hot. Am I right? Is that... I didn't really fuck that up. The title is called, Block Is Hot. Oh my God, man. Shit. You think I did some preparation. My bad. No, it's called Hold Down the Block by Nas. And it's on track 10. And it's on the Hip Hop Is Dead album. And it's the third verse. Came from the third verse, right? And this episode is actually a sequel to the last episode, 193, why I do this. And I'm kind of I found myself answering the question. So on the last episode, I shared the same clip, focused on again, I went all over the place, right? But I'm more, let me get to the point. I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. So I found myself realizing that in my explanation about this clip on the last episode, I found myself saying, this is why I do this podcast, why I do this podcast. Now, I found myself thinking, using why I do this as a question, and the answer is being a legend in my own skin. I like that word. The song came on this morning as I was listening to it. And then that line where Nas says, be a legend in your own skin, felt significant. Initially, Jeezy had a song called I Do It For You. How all his career shit rap song is I Do It For You. And it's a lie. For me, it's a lie. It would be a lie. This podcast is less, as much as I want an audience, the reality is I'd be lying to you if I'm saying, like, you know, I do it for hip hop, I do it for the art, I do it for you. I mean, yeah, I do it for podcasting as an art, and all that as a content creator. I do, yes. But the focus I'm realizing is I do it more for myself. I'm trying to do shit to get myself to like myself more. To discover it. So it's discovery. It's a, it allows me to be creative. It allows me to find shit, share content on the internet. It allows me to do shit I enjoy doing. I'm on a journey into self-healing. I talked earlier about how I'm struggling with, I struggle with self-forgiveness. I struggle with actually just liking the person I see in the mirror. And this is not meant to be a self-pity thing. It is a behind the image I portray when I'm out there. Behind that is, there's a lot of self-loathing. And I don't, again, not doing this for self-pity. I say this because I believe I'm not the only one who goes through life struggling like that. And but what really inspired today's thought came after, bear with me, work with me, is after someone blocked me on Twitter. This particular woman who blocked me, she was an attractive woman. Fun fact, I meant to write her and say this, right? It's I don't know this person. She lives in somewhere in the States. She's just a content creator. She like initially, this was our relationship. she's a content. Content creator. Basically, she just tweets a lot, and I'm not sure to the full extent what else she does, but she puts a lot of like either funny shit, very like musical related things, and herself, like, you know, she's also a thirst trap, I believe, right? And so attractive. I remember when they having, I don't know if I ever told you the story. I may have told you the story. I just didn't specify. I actually once had a dream about her. Content creator. Again, do not know this person. This is like the relationship with the strangers you have on the internet. I remember had a, had a dream about her once, right? And I'm sure the dream wasn't about her, but it was more symbolic to something deeper. But and then my subconscious just chose to use her face as a pen. And what happened is she showed up at my house, and it's like, I'm yours. And I'm like, yeah. And right when I'm getting ready to, like, you know, pull down my pants, get, you know, or find a whatever, do the deed. You know what woke me up? It wasn't the idea of us having sex. What woke me up is I remember being like, wait a minute, how'd this chick get my address? I'm in a motherfucking dream. And my first question is like, wait a minute, how'd she get my address? And then I went into paranoid. I went into like, oh man, great. This is going to be sex. It's going to come with sex that strings attached. It's like, there's like, okay, I can elaborate on a phobia that I have. I think it was a more of a phobia of relationships. But I remember I woke up. I thought it was funny. I think I don't make a joke about that. But that was the thought. I'm like, wait, how'd she get my address? Are you stalking me? Anyways, and right, blocked me. So I'm trying to say she's a stranger. I do not know this human being. I do not know whatever, but in my mind, I created her to be. It's like I'm thinking of what Kirk Franklin was saying about how he was talking about his porn addiction and how one day he was trying to get rid of his porn, and it's like he had a, it's like in his mind he had a relationship with these people. Whatever. It's not real. It's not real, but it's like there was some kind of weird, there was some kind of attachment to that figure. So I'm just trying to describe like the attachment I had to this complete stranger who we don't know each other for atoms. And then she posted something. She recently posted, and I have a lot of people like that on my Twitter follower. It's like, hey, I'm a centrist. Turns out I hate centrists. I'm a centrist, so I'm neutral in politics. I'm like, yeah. After you posted that shit, you kind of took a side, motherfucker, right? You're like the white person between black people and the Klan, talking about, hey, can we compromise? They're as bad, but they're in denial about the fact that I didn't realize how much, especially in this political climate, how much I hate the voting doesn't matter people. How much the whatever. So she posted a thought about how, I forget the details, but essentially it was to the idea of Democrats and Republicans. There's nothing different. There's nothing different between Trump and Kamala Harris. Now, that's one thing for the pro-Palestinian folks to do that. I get it. There's a lot of pro-Palestinian folks who are like, yo, fuck that. The game's rigged. None of these motherfuckers are going to help Palestine. I don't agree with them. Don't get me wrong, okay? But my fellow Palestine supporters, I don't agree with you. Yeah, fuck Kamala because she's pro-Israel. Again, another discussion. That's a completely other discussion, but yeah, there's one thing to be that, and there's another to be like, voting doesn't matter. And what's funny is I used to be those voting doesn't matter people, but whatever, right? a part of me really, 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 I'm not an American citizen, but I really can't accept if Trump becomes, I'm trying not to be like, qui sera sera, stuff like that, but it would really bother me. I would really hate our southern neighbors if they reelected this fucking con artist. If enough people told themselves voting doesn't matter and this asshole wins. Again, I don't expect Kamala to be like the savior to like, okay, I'm going to go to this extreme. I don't expect her to make things better, but I do expect her to not make things worse, which is what Trump is. All this to say, so she posted something politics related, and it's funny, I was just triggered. I guess Twitter does that to me, man. I was just triggered by that post. Now, I responded. I felt, I mean, sure, I could have, I'm usually the, okay, meet people where they are type of situation, but in this particular situation, I just felt like, I responded to her post with, because what she said, it was, again, there's no difference between the two sides, something along that idea, and I responded with, tell that to the poor women who had to drive out of state to get an abortion. And I remember hitting post and thinking to myself, you know, maybe I should say, I hear what you're saying, yes. The comparison was Republicans and Democrats are like Crips in the blood. And I felt like saying, yeah, sure, but the difference is when Crips and Blood beef, neighborhoods get devastated. Maybe your neighborhood, small neighborhoods. When Republicans and Democrats beef, assholes like Trump's get elected. And the rest of the world are like, how the fuck did that happen? Trump is like, Trump is like, exactly. Trump is like Megan Gunn's character in, what's that movie called again? Tyler Perry's Divorce in the Black. Megan Gunn is with a shitty husband. Her husband is a shitty, like, you have to watch the movie. You'll watch the movie within the first 5 minutes, you'll be like, oh, wow, bitch, break up. So it's like, I'm so invested in this election. The United States electing Trump is like watching Megan Good go back to that shitty boyfriend. It's like, and it's less, it's more like, bitch, you allowed, I'm using the word bitch, but you allowed yourself to be, it's, excuse me, I'm going to take back the word, but I'm going to say, dummy, your self-esteem is so fucking low, you allowed yourself to go back to this abuser. I forgot what I was, oh yeah, okay. So I responded with that, and oh, that's another reason why I like it. Because every time you post, this person, to encourage people to post on her, she usually likes your post. She usually likes your replies when you contribute to what she says. But in this particular case, she hit like, and then I got a second notification that went, again, I'm going to paraphrase something along the lines of, hey, she didn't use the word asshole, but it's like, yo, man, Don't comment on my shit. Don't be bringing that shit stuff. But if you don't like what I say, then get the fuck out. Kind of thing like that. It was like really. it was a severe response. And I was angry too, so I responded with, yeah, fuck it. Say less. If you don't like my shit, then say less. Right when I was getting ready to unfollow her, I'm like, oh, I can't find her anymore. Fuck, already realized I got blocked. Now, I don't know if I got blocked for saying say less or I got blocked for my response, but I got blocked. And this is where what I'm talking about is I found myself being like, oh, man, my feelings are hurt by that action. And it's not being blocked. It's less about block that's really getting the way blocked it, sure. But I found myself being reflecting on why the fuck is this shit bothering me? Like, I felt like journaling. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm journaling. Why am I allowing this complete stranger who blocked me? Why am I allowing this shit to bother me? And I found myself reflecting on the words of, I forgot to tell the name of the person who I played, the essence of trauma and how emotional repression can harm you. Gabberman, is that his name? Well, the content creator who shared this is Rainbow in my kitchen. Oh, that's beautiful. Rainbow in my kitchen. You know what? Follow. Okay. I'm trying to get the name of the person, the psychiatrist who just talked. Is it Garbermate? Is that his name? Garbermate. His name's Garbermate. Okay. I found myself thinking on that clip that I shared earlier, specifically the part about attachment versus authenticity. All this to tell you how much I found myself thinking and thinking about. I was thinking about my hurt feelings from being blocked by this individual and thinking about how much, not only that I do not like that feeling, but how much I've done to avoid feeling like that. How the many times where I've avoided being authentic for that attachment, even though it's a shallow attachment. Even though it's the shallowest, the most shallowest attachment of them all. That's the only point I'm trying to make. I'm realizing I made it. Is that what Garbermate, Mr. Okay, his name's not Garbermate. Hold on, fuck that. Oh, Garbormate. Oh my God, Canadian physician. Ain't that a bitch? Ain't that no Garbormate. C'est ça son nom? Is he French? C'est un français? Oh, wow. Okay, whatever. Focus, man. I was thinking about what he was saying about attachment. Is that, I was processing these feelings. Is that what's going on in my mind? My brain is like, oh, shit. You've destroyed an attachment. You did something to sever an attachment. What the fuck are you doing? Is that what was going on in my brain? Was I in a panic mode? But it's, I guess, what... What reminded me of is like that hurt feeling realizing that hurt feeling was just the cost of being authentic. And I remember thinking about, but I didn't say anything mean. Oh my God, I thought it's like I'm being pro. I remember like, it's not that I'm taking back my words, but I'm like, find myself thinking about how, but I don't know if I said, I didn't think, but I thought you women were into that kind of stuff. But I remember, but anyways, the price of being authentic. Maybe this should have been the title of today's episode, but yes. But I'm grateful for that moment. Because for the series of thought and how today I end up with an episode titled Be a Legend in Your Own Skin, which is what I'm, this is what my journey. When its life is over, at least I'll be able to look back and be less hateful of myself. And that does it. This does it. Okay. All right. I'm going to conclude. I'm going to stop here. with those final words, shout out to Mr. Gabor Maté, and say thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording this Sake Bun episode of Shut the Podcast. If you want to holler at me, share some thoughts, I would be really grateful. I would really enjoy hearing your thoughts on this thing. And it's holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. That's where you can find me on these internet streets. But you could also email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. RSS feed, all that good stuff. RSS feed, show notes, and links to what I shared will all be on the website. With that said, thank you for listening, and as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace. Yeah.